Glad to have you all here this morning. And if you didn't get a sheet or from previous weeks or you don't have one on our study sheet, please raise your hand. The men will give you one right now. So we've got several hands here. If you'll pass those out, gentlemen, please and thank you. We're studying this for our homework. Glad that you're here today. And just hold your hands up to give you one. We've given out smaller sheets and bigger sheets and lesser sheets, and that's just a guideline for you for where we're headed, and we're all set. Glad to have Paul and Carol Landry with us today, who were formerly with the Latin American Mission for many years and with Christ for the Cities now in the city, and your pastor and Brother Dale. Dale serve on the board for that mission, basically working in Latin American countries, and now specifically, of course, the same areas, but with the headquarters here, and they are at about 89th and J Street for their office. And if you don't know them, I want you to know them. Paul and Carol, if you'll please stand. They served for missionaries for years in, I want to say, Brazil. Yes, and have a home with us. Good. Glad that you're here. And I want you also, since we've introduced them, I'd like to have you stand and give your own name so we know who you are. And if you'll just do that, and we'll reacquaint each other with each other. We'll start right here. Frank.
Frank Binder.
Okay. Nice and nice, man. Maria, what's going on?
Lawrence
Lucas.
My cut out and my wife Susan.
She's got laryngitis today, right?
Susan, my husband.
Well, equal opportunity. That's what we have here. Okay.
Oh, Terry Young.
Okay, Terry. And we've had the Landrys. We're glad to have you all here today, and it looks like the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Is that right? So maybe you'd like to join us for class. You're welcome to sit. It's on the aisle. It gives you a lot of room. Okay. All right. We're glad you're here. We had word of a good answer to prayer, wonderful answer to prayer this past week. Rachel Stageman is the creative producer for KMTV Channel 3, and we've been working with her for 13 months now, just finished the four videos on Step Up to Life, which you'll be hearing about as soon as we get the rapper design, the album design for it. The tapes are all set, for which we're thankful. I never knew it was going to take that long, but it does take that long. Well, I walked in the other day and she said, she told me before, I got some good news. And I said, well, that's good. I thought maybe she had a raise or something. And she walked in, she said, I walked in to give her some stuff, and she said, you know, Pastor, they found out I had a brain tumor. I said, she's 25 or whatever. I said, you are kidding me. I said, do you have headaches? No, they found out my blood, checked me out, and they gave me an MRI. I said, you got a brain tumor. And she said, no, I don't need this. Understatement of the year. I don't need this. So she went to my church and I had him pray for me. I said, thank you. And I went back a week later, they took another MRI and the doctor says, it's all gone. So that was a total miracle. You lose a brain cancer or a brain tumor. Thank you, Lord. It's major. Thank you, James. James has given me signals from the pack to get this closer to the front. So we're grateful for that. Real answer to prayer. And grateful for the Lord's kindness to us. Now, we've been studying, and before I forget, more thing. A book that's been great help to me, and I have an old copy which I like, and I won't part with, is hardcover. And back in the days when they made books with hardcovers, you could buy them for $7 then. A great book on prayer. You'll never outgrow milk, the need of milk, and you'll never outgrow, if you can outpray this book, you'll probably be getting close to heaven. But you can find stuff, one-liners in here that will find you where you are. You'll find stuff I've read and said, what is he talking about? I don't know what he's talking about. I want to find out what he's talking about. And over the years that I've read it, it's become increasingly a blessing to me. I've gone through every chapter and about maybe but two. I've gone through all the chapters, but I've underlined, gone back and looked at my underlines, keep the book. And it's Andrew Murray with Christ in the School of Prayer. Now, there's just two copies. There's one here in my hand. There's one downstairs. in the bookstore, but she will order you what you want. I talked with Judy Dickmeyer this morning. For a paltry, I mean, you can't get a Big Mac and fries and a milkshake for the price of this thing we're selling down. It's $5.10. And this is a wonderful book. It's not just, go read this and do some busy work. This is like a manual for prayer I keep with me. And I read the Word of God and I read what he said. This is a great, great man of prayer. He being dead, can yet speak to you. And you can start in. I'm sorry the introduction isn't the same as mine, because in my older copy, as far as I'm concerned, he's got more in his introduction than most books got in the first three chapters. No lie. I just feast on it. I can't, boom, a paragraph and I have to stop. So don't just try to whip through it. You may do that, but you're going to be going over this all your life. I'm not afraid to say that. There are very few books I would say that about. I'm going to say about this. As far as prayer goes, this will be an ongoing inspiration to you. I asked Ray Mayhew, who perhaps knows books better than I do even, and I said, Ray, do you know of any other book in the same category as this one? And he thought a while, and he thought some more. I said, no, one more. He said, Richard Foster wrote a book on prayer, and he wrote The Disciplines of the Christian Life, and I have that, and I'm just trying to pick at it. But this will be around until Jesus comes back for people who want to learn how to pray. A lot of books on prayer today, but I want to tell you, they probably dip their bucket in this man's well. And I find more and more that, including your pastor, you don't have time to read good books. You only got time to read great books. Right? I mean, anybody and their uncle can publish a book. There was a day when you had to have something to say before they'd publish you. Now every guy sits down at his computer, he rips it off, and out it goes, and it's published. Look, just because something is written doesn't mean it's worth your time reading it. Now, we're knee-deep in paperbacks, and that's good and bad. But among your books, please, and I'm glad they're paperbacks, because people can't spend they won't spend $20 on a book with a hard cover. But please get this, start picking at it. Just go through, and if something stops you, say, whoa, just stop there and soak in it. But it's a big Thanksgiving feast day waiting for you, and you're going to read it and read it. And I've been reading it now off and on, and more on lately years. And I still find stuff that I'm going back. I need to sit on that, soak on that, help my prayer life. So this man prayed through and had insights. He had insights. It's out of his heart. You'll feel the whole beat of it. Now, so go down and put your order in, and if you want to buy this one afterwards, you can.
Ask what's the name of it?
Oh. You're getting kind of nosy, aren't you? Didn't I give the name? Yeah, I thought I waved it around, but no one could see it. Why don't you all buy this book? All right, you all get this. All right. I thought, what are you going to do, pray for your healing, for your eyesight? Can't you see that? With Christ in the School of Prayer by Andrew Murray. Thank you. Can you imagine? I so carried away, I forgot to tell you who it was. With Christ in the School of Prayer by Andrew Murray. Many good books on prayer, but in principle and truth, this will lead the way for most of the time. Dick Eastman gives the introduction. He's a fine man of prayer and very practical in his prayer books. Dick Eastman's very good too, please. But when they're printing your book, 150 to 200 years after you're gone, you know what, that tells you something. It tells you, there's enough said that people say, who said that? I need some more help. It doesn't come back by itself. It comes back because the truth has helped God's people. Now, having said that, get my glasses. Two weeks ago, we began on Lord Teach Us to Pray, and I never want to get away from that. Lord Teach Us to Pray, not to witness, not to sing, administer, heal. The only thing the disciples ever asked the Lord to teach them was to pray. And they did that because they saw his praying, and they heard him praying, and it inspired something that they wanted. We went through that pretty well, and now we came to God teaches us to pray by different means. And I asked you to put down your paper seven different ways by which Christ inspires prayer. Last week we took example, And when he was in a certain place praying, that when he was finished, they said, Lord, teach us to pray. And that was ongoing. Today, we're going to take, I think it's by number two. Did I ask you what they were? You gave me some last week. I want you to make sure you got seven. I'm putting down number two is by instruction. First of all, Christ prayed himself, which is the great lesson. But he also inspires us to pray by instruction. And we're going to talk about something that's very common to us, maybe so common it's lost its edge, and we want to go back and get a re-edge on it. Take your Bibles, please. And turn to Matthew 6. This is the Lord's Prayer. What might this prayer be better called? We call it the Lord's Prayer, and if I didn't call it that, you wouldn't know what I was talking about. But it might better be called what?
Prayer outline.
Well, is it the
model prayer?
Oh, it's a model prayer. What else do you think about this? We call it the Lord's Prayer because the Lord gave it to us. But for whom was the prayer given? Us, yeah, we who are disciples. So it might well be called the disciples' prayer, really. We call it the Lord's Prayer. If you were to pick the Lord's Prayer, that was really the Lord's Prayer, you would pick where?
John
17. Our great high priestly prayer of our Lord is the Lord's Prayer. Now, I won't confuse you with that, but we call it the Lord's Prayer, and that's fine. But read John 17, our Lord's incredible prayer. I got carried away on that. John 17, several years ago in another church, I preached 52 sermons on that one chapter. I don't think I did much with it. Now, I'll tell you the truth, out of those 52 sermons, probably 12 or 14 should be eliminated. No lie. I think I didn't do a very well job. I think I was kind of repeating myself. But it is, ever since I studied that prayer, my understanding of the Lord's humanity and deity was just did more for me than did my people, I know that. So prayer in our Lord's life, it's incredible prayer our Lord prayed. And don't get me going, I think I'll teach maybe if the Lord gives me a little bit on John 17. What a prayer. Oh my, well, I'm getting spry just thinking about the past. Let's stay with the present here. All right, our Lord's Prayer now. What's it say? Matthew 6. And when you pray, chapter 5, somebody read verse 5 for us, please. Launch right out.
You shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward.
All right, they want to be seen by men. So we want to parade our spirituality. They want to parade their spirituality. In fact, they didn't have any spirituality, so they're parading their hypocrisy is what they're praying. Leonard Ravenhill said we need power to pray, power in prayer, and power to say nothing about our praying. He was a godly man. They took and brought him up to Bethany Fellowship. Are you acquainted with Bethany Fellowship, Ralph, Paul at all? And they used to have him come up and just live on campus to pray. And a remarkable man. He's a revivalist book, Why Revival Tarries by Leonard Ravenhill. He was a Britisher. And he would skin you alive when needed to get you spiritual. He carried the sword. He was the prophet. Thomas Hare was the Irish plumber that traveled with him. And Thomas Hare, they called him the praying plumber of Lisbon. And so he traveled with him and did all the praying. And they said, oh yes, people invite Thomas out for dinner. They don't invite me out for dinner. I carry the sword. Well, he had that right. But he knew to have with him a great prayer force. Charles Finney had with him his prayer partner, whose name was, anybody know?
Father Nash.
Father Nash. He called him Father Nash, not because he was Episcopal priest or Catholic priest or anything else. It's just they recognized his spiritual paternity power. I said, Father Nash, Father Nash. And Finney would send him always ahead to his next place of meetings. And Father Nash would go to the next town, wherever it was, back in the mid-1800s, late 1800s, or 1840, around through there. And he would say, go to the church and find a pastor and say, who's the godliest widow here in town? Oh, that's Widow Brown. She lives over there. So he'd go to Widow Brown's house and he'd say, I'm Brother Nash, and Brother Finney's coming here for meetings, and I need to have a place to just pray. And I wonder if I could rent one of your rooms and have board room here. She said, yes. And he said, I'll tell you what now. Sometimes you just bring my meals up and put outside the room. Sometimes I'm going to eat them and sometimes I won't. I'll be up there praying. Don't worry about me, but put the meals out if I want them. Fine. If they're not there. Now, if they're still there now, they'd take them away type of thing. So he would go and he would pray and he'd pray. He might be there 3 weeks before Finney came. He might be there a month before Finney came. But Finney said, I had never gone to a place where Father Nash preceded me, where the Spirit of God did not fall. Because Father Nash would come to Finney and say, so right now, Brother Finney, you can come. The Spirit of God is going to come. He had prayed through. Now, how many of you are familiar with that phrase, praying through? About four of you, five of you. All right. That's what do we mean by praying through? What did Father Nash mean when he told Finney he'd prayed through, it's all right, he'd come now, the Spirit of God would be there, manifesting himself?
Would it be like a confirmation of your spirit?
It's confirmation. Unpack that a little bit more.
Well, if you have something you're praying about, it's like an assurance that God has heard it.
All right. Now, Ed, did you say that line again? Because that's what it is.
God has heard.
It's assurance that God has heard. All right. Now, here. There's some things you don't have to pray about. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to?
To repentance.
2 Peter. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should repent. So I don't have to pray whether or not God wants to save my neighbor, because he most surely does. So there's some things you don't pray for at all. I need to pray for about it all. Someone comes up and they're demonized or something, you can pray for them, or a Christian's under attack, you pray for the sister, pray for the brother. Okay, you don't have to do that. You don't have to pray about being kind or anything, fruits of the Spirit. But there are other things you need to pray about before you pray for. Someone explain what I just said.
That's a good question.
Well, you give me a good answer, I'm sure. Frank?
Well, you need the mind of God correctly for something.
All right, give me an illustration.
An illustration. All right, my wife was praying for my father years ago. He was unsaved. She asked for a key to unlock that thing.
Mm-hmm.
She fasted and prayed, and God gave her a thing to pray for. And she went to work on that. Spoke to him about that thing, why it had an effect.
All right, now this is very, very, very excellent, excellent illustration. His wife is praying about, was it your dad?
Yeah, it was my dad.
His dad, an unbeliever, and sure she prayed, Lord, save Frank's dad. That's okay. But two or three notches beyond that is the prayers which we all can do. Now, Lord, and in fact, we had somebody in this class, remember we had the 12 weeks on sharing your faith now and how? And Debbie and, I forget his name, he's a state trooper. And he came up and said, my dad's a drunk. He's been in alcohol. We've witnessed with this. I don't know. Is there anything more I can do? I've talked to him. I've prayed for him. Is there anything more I can do? And I said, I don't know what to tell you because you've done anything I know. But I tell you what you do. You and your husband go home and you ask the Lord. You ask the Lord what he wants you to do. And they did, and God told them what to do. And they did it. And she said, God told me to write him this letter. Let me see a copy. Perfect. Now, a letter doesn't yell at you. It doesn't have a tone of voice. It won't go away. You can pick it up and all those type of things. So his wife went to the Lord and said, Lord, what would be a key to influence his father's heart? I mean, it might be you might be amazed what God says would influence somebody. The point is, she prayed about it before she prayed for and received that information. So you have access. If any man lack wisdom or woman, let him ask of God. And you have a right to say, here's my coworker. Lord, we're friendly with this. What do you see would influence him, Lord? You'd be amazed what you might find out what to do. Now, I do some things by common understanding. My neighbor next door, Dan, I'm praying for him, and he likes to run, and I'm going to invite him to, and we've talked running and all this and all that, and he's been to a couple of events. We're going to invite him to the Run for Refugees. He's right beside me. And I say, hey, in fact, I just put the registration in my briefcase today. I want to take it home.
I don't want to interrupt you, but that example of Debbie Gerald, that's who we're talking about.
Which?
Earlier on.
Oh, is that the one?
That is Gerald's, or Deb's father.
Oh, my. So wonderful. Wonderful. Step by step. Thank you for that. When he kneeled, was the very father we're talking about. And I tell you, you have to pray your way through these things. And because God knows where for you to put the drill. He knows, often I say to people when I try to answer a question, am I scratching where you're itching? And they'll say, yeah. I'll say, no, you're not answering my question. I'll say, well, give it to me again. So when we talk about, thinking about Dan next door to me, and I think he likes to run, and what's my bridge? And I'm going to try and get him into this race, and we'll talk some more, and sit down for pancakes in that morning, and da-da-da-da-da. I didn't have to pray about that. Just kind of, that's where he's at. Let's go. There are other times, what are we doing? What about Joe? I'm not getting anywhere with Joe. All right, let's switch a little bit. Suppose you had three job offers. Now, when God starts to lead you, he makes it very easy at first. It's open, close, one door. That's it. That's not too tough. I'm hungry. I need a job. There's a job open, and nothing else is open. I'm going to take the job. I mean, that's a no-brainer, okay? Unless you prefer to starve, then sit and starve. But don't say God didn't provide, all right? Give us this day our daily bread. You had your bread given to you. All right, then God's going to promote you. He's going to give you two open doors, and they're both good. They're both good. Now what are you going to do?
Find which one pays more.
I hope you're up on your tithe, having said that. I'm checking your giving record when I go downstairs. By the way, I check nobody's giving record. I don't want to know what people give. I really don't. All right, but that's certainly part of it. Labor's worthy of his hire. He's also labor of his fire, but he doesn't do his job. All right. Now, that's part of it. What else? He's got two good jobs now.
Well, what I've done, I hope to hear something better from you. What I've done is that I've just said, okay, Lord, I'm going to go this way because I prefer this. And if you don't want me to, check me.
Right.
Don't let me, if you do, give me a piece of it.
All right, now, we really, last week we were in the same thing. We really can't separate much from praying from knowing the will of God because praying has to do with what God wants. And so that's not all bad. You have peace about doing that? Did it work out okay?
Yeah.
Okay, you're glad you made the choice you did.
That's... Well, I'm not thinking of anything in particular right now, but that seems to work because sometimes I'll get a check and other times it's... I seem fine about it, so...
But other times you get a check.
Yeah.
What do you think that means?
That means to go the other way.
That means no.
Yeah.
That's right.
Well, it means no. Maybe it doesn't mean to go the other
way. I mean, the check means no.
Right.
Yeah. And the liberty means yes.
Yeah.
That's right. And then as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the children of God. You never proceed past that check, because if you do, you'll find out why God gave you the check. And I don't mean check as in money. I mean check as in stop sign. I want to tell you, if you obey the check, you'll never need to know. But if you go over it, you will surely find out why God meant no. And that's not recommended. But let me commend you. That's right. What does Scripture say? Let the peace of God rule, reign, and arbitrate in your heart. Here we go again. I guess we can't separate ourselves. We want to get back to that. But you're never on prayer ground until you're at zero. You may have and will have and I have human preferences. I prefer to live here rather than some parts of the United States or some parts of America I don't want to live in. My preference is I'm north and here I am and I like it up here. So if God wants to put me in the south, I my human preference is no, I don't like to live down there. It's hot and da-da-da-da. And I'm a Yankee and all that kind of stuff. Okay. So those are human preferences. But they cannot be prevailing preferences. You may have a human preference which is not sinful. It only becomes sinful when it becomes a prevailing preference rather than a human preference. Any question? I like it here and I'm not going down there regardless. Am I wrong? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be saved. Right? Well, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so live out your life in him. So I take my human preferences and recognize them as such without sin. Say, Lord, here are my human preferences. I put them here. Now, what do you want? You get to zero. Now, you may take three crucifixions to get to zero, depending on the issue. You have to get to zero on any given issue. And you're not on prayer ground, neither am I, until we get to zero. Any question? You know what I'm saying now? So you have human preferences, and some choices not good choices that are pleasant to you. But you're not at prayer ground until you're at zero on any given matter. Yes?
Going back to the check.
Yeah.
Just because something becomes difficult doesn't mean that's a check.
No, I didn't say that. That's right, and thank you for bringing that out.
There
was a man came to my office several years ago, and what deal it was. Nothing big secret or so. As long as I live, I'll never forget. What was his name? KCRO manager, Paul
Ream.
Paul Ream came to me several years ago. He said, Pastor, he was at KFAB before that. He said, you know, I got a chance to. They want me to come and manage KCRO. He said, I've just been working on KFAB, and I don't know what I should do or not. I've got a good job down there, and this and that, and this and that, and this and that. And make a long story short, we started looking it over. Don't throw away your brains when you consider the will of God. You got to use your brains. Get out your pencil and paper. Well, I said, what are the advantages of going to KCRO? Da, 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 da. Do you have, how many places other than town that you could become a radio manager? Well, none, except this one. I said, well, is that a step up from where you are? Yeah. Well, are you happy with your job? Yeah. You got it down pat? Yeah. How'd you like to learn something new? Would a KCRO managership be a promotion for you? Well, yeah. Well, long story short, I said, furthermore, how many people you can reach with the gospel? You're going to reach more people in one day than I will in who knows how long. So you got to think about that. And we looked at all the advantages of it and the promotion of it. Where else? I said, I don't care if you're there 2 years. You got it on your resume after that. You manage the radio station. How many people can put that in your field on their resume? Well, not too many. I said, well, then what do you think? You got to go home and pray about it. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. Well, long story short, he went home and prayed about it. And I didn't tell him this till later. I've only done it once in my life, period. He came back, he told me, I think God wants me to take it. I'm going to take it. I said, that's right. I think you're right. I told him, I said, you know, I've never said it before, and I've never said it since. I would not do it apart from God. I said, I have as much assurance you should be down there as I should be where I'm at. I would never say that to somebody, but I felt I could say it to him. Well, he came back to see me about 7-8 months later. I mean, he was so low, he had to look up to see bottom. He could have chinned himself on a curbstone. He was so low. Okay. And he said, man, I don't know. I don't know if God wants me down. Do you know what happened? The secretary, the lady at the desk, she was there when he got there. She's stealing our money and this and this and this, and I am just being blown away indeed. I let him go because he needed some therapeutic listening. I did some dynamic listening instead of talking for a change. I said, you know, Paul, you've made one mistake. What is it? Did I take the wrong job? You thought the will of God had no pain. Now, pain on the job is not a check of the spirit. That's a result of challenge or learning or a mistake or whatever. And that's why don't ever doubt in the dark what God gave you in the light. Write it down. It's not original. Don't doubt in the dark what God gives you in the light. Dr. V. Raymond Edmonds said that, former past president of Wheaton College. Now, that requires, therefore, that you find out what God wants in the light, because when it gets dark, you know, I don't care if the roof falls in, this is where God wants me. Let the peace of God reign and rule and arbitrate in your life, and then you make a decision. I don't care how you get to that peace, in the different ways God can lead you, but you get to zero on any given matter. And that doesn't mean you throw your brains away. Now, this job is offering me $10 an hour, and this job is offering me $25 an hour. That's a significant factor. There's nothing wrong with saying, hey, the labor's really this high, you've been in your field for 12 years, you're about time you got a promotion or whatever, whatever. That's not wrong. It can't be the only factor, but it's certainly a significant factor. God wants to bless you, give you a better job, and take the promotion. And by the way, I find men, women, somewhere between 38 and 41, they have to face a major, they usually, the entrepreneurial type, the leadership type going up, will face their major decision between 38 and 41. And they'll make a, usually a, a big decision, and 9 times out of 10 in their own field. And they'll take on a lot more responsibility and get a lot big financial step up, and a lot of everything happens between 38 and 41. All the other years are important to get you there. When you get there, that type of person, this, here's that, and you put them in for you, and after you get all your pros and cons on your paper, you might talk to one of the Christians, if it's really, really important for you, you might talk to one of the Christians whom you respect in this type of thing, and absolutely no more than two. And I don't even want to go that way. One, I don't want you leaning on somebody else. I want you to, you can listen to them. And they may point out something very significant, and that's okay. But the last court of appeal is you on your knees before God. You on your knees before the Lord, waiting for him to give you peace or liberty about the matter. So you've got 3 good jobs, and the salary's a $3,000 span anyway. It doesn't make that much difference to you. And so they're all good. And so which one are you going to go through? And you're going to let the peace of God rule in your heart. Now, God's going to promote you from a one-door situation. And he had to take me that way, man. First church I was in, they hadn't had the gospel preaching for 25 years. And after 2 years and 8 months, they said, you're a nice guy, but get out of here. In fact, they didn't say you're a nice guy. So I had to go somewhere. I had a family and a wife, and we got in the habit of eating several years before that. And I thought it was probably a good habit to continue. And so when Alliance Church opened up, I really didn't want to go to it. But it was my wife's church, and we'd known them for years, and they gave me a call, and it was a one-door deal. And to make it interesting, I had a big Baptist preacher across the river, in Fall River, and he had more connections than a plumber. Don't worry, Doc, he said, I'm gonna get you a church. I go, oh, good, I got the big guy, the big Pope across the river's going for me. And he said, this is a lovely church down in Cape Cod. I think they need a pastor. I thought, how neat. Fish all spring, swim all summer. This is a great place to pastor down in vacation land. Man, I had my antenna up so long, and there wasn't, not one thing came in. God shut that thing down. I don't know how many contacts he made. I got zero back. Zero. And I'm a good preacher, don't you know? Here I am, you lucky people. The only thing staring at me was this little Alliance church with 48 people. Well, that's not too bad. I just had 43, so that was up 5. That wasn't too bad. You know, God just kept, that's the only thing that kept, just that one. I'm trying to find. I've just been full of the Spirit. I didn't know how God lead very well. Just nothing but one open door and a food bill. Okay. I think I'll take it. I didn't know. I said, okay, I'll take it. You got to go somewhere. So God, see, wonderful how God is. He doesn't play philosopher with the washwoman. What do I mean by that? God does not play philosopher with the washwoman. What do I mean by that?
Don't have to give you fancy reasons.
Partly. Keep going. That's right.
He talks to you in your own language.
Yeah. He approaches you where you are. If you're a philosopher, he'd probably talk to you about Plato and say, you know, I mean, God can do it. Or if someone's just like, I'm just a straight-ahead, forward guy, he'll talk to you about it. He'll just adapt himself to you. What sign did he give to the fishermen? Big net full of fish. What sign did he give to the stargazers? Wise men. Oh, look at that one. He didn't give him a fish. I mean, who cares about a net full of fish? But look at that star. I can't believe that star. Bethlehem Express. Here we go. So the good thing about God, God loves each one. The Father in heaven, just like when you raise your kids, you adapt yourself perfectly to the child and your family you're dealing with. If he's 3, don't talk to him like he's 16. If he's 16, don't talk to him like he's 3. Although they may feel that you are, but you really aren't. Okay? Any question? Don't doubt in the doctrine, God gave him the light. He came back in, Paul did, he was bruised and bleeding. He said, your mistake, Paul, is you thought there was no pain in the will of God. It's just because you thought, well, it's all going to be smooth sailing. Who said so? Was it for Jesus? No. He perfectly did the will of God, and he got battered, got killed and crucified. He came back to see me, then he crawled out. I said, you're right where God wants you. Go back there, buddy. God bless you, I have prayer for you. You know what an orator is? An orator is a man who's willing to lay down your life for his country. Go right back in there, Paul. It's no problem. Have a great day. I've had my days. Come on now. I'm qualified. So I said, send him back in. He came back to see me about, I don't know, 9 months later. And he was a year later maybe. Boy, Pastor, this is the greatest job I've ever had. Boy, it's this great. We're doing this, we're doing that, doing that. That's right. So the check in the spirit is not something that is the cause of pain when you got the job. You find out what God wants you to do before you do it. Now, God, I've been praying about this necktie. He probably said, man, alive, you should have. It's wicked. take no thought for your clothes, what you shall wear. Okay. Now, my wife buys my clothes, thank you. You blame her. If you don't like what I wear, go see her. Don't blame me. No. I'm laughing. I'm having a good time today, Aaron. I forgot the point I was going to make. I'm going to blow this lesson. You don't pray about simple. I don't pray about simple things. Sometimes you need a parking place by the downtown. I'm going to pray, Lord, open one of those meters up. I don't want to go around and around. That's okay. A lot of things you don't pray about. God gives you free will just to it. But the more important thing is, the more obviously you want to have peace about God. You're making some gigantic decisions, some of you. And some of you are making gigantic decisions sooner or later if you're not making one now. Come at zero. Thank your Father in heaven. He desires to lead you. There's not one parent here. If our kids came and said, Dad, would you really help me? Man, would you really help me with this decision? Could I talk it over with you? Man, I'd eat that up. Mm-hmm. And your problem is the kids don't come and talk to you, okay? And then they learn that they wish they had, and that's okay. And sometimes they say, it's your decision, honey. I'll help you. Yeah. Question.
Well, I have a question that's a little bit personal, but I'll just go ahead and ask you anyways. We 4 years ago adopted a little girl when she was, she came to live with us when she was four, and we adopted her when she was five. And it's one of those things, you know, that you definitely pray if God's will is in this matter or not. And anyways, to leave out a lot of details, now she's nine, and I have not had a piece that this still is. I think that maybe I juggled things and I kind of forced issues, and I don't know if I completely hear it from her.
Okay.
First,
how about nine?
Yes.
And you took her on when she was about four, but you adopted her when she was five.
Yes.
All right. And
we prayed, and, you know, we had taken classes, and, you know, and they had, you know, warned us about a lot of different things that could happen. And, you know, we just said, Lord, if it's your will, you know, it's the one of those, if it's your will, okay. And, you know, and, well, you know, she's our daughter now, but he looked back and he said, how do you, I mean, you don't just want to throw it up in the air.
Well,
walk away. Of course, you know, she's our child now, and I love her, but I haven't felt a mother-child bond with her. I feel like somehow I manipulated God, and that she and I maybe meant to be with each other.
Why do you feel you manipulated God?
Oh, well, these are...
Or tried to. In other words, you want to, your mother, do you want to have another youngster, and it'd
right.
be nice to help somebody out.
And there was a biological mother there who... didn't want to give up parental rights, and I coerced her to do that.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Well, let's put it this way. It's the will of God now.
Is what?
It is the will of God now.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can't go back. You know what? Let's remember this. How many in this room can think of one time when they, as you look back now, you've thought, if only... I mean, the immediate response is that they understand you perfectly, number one. Secondly, if anybody says they don't think of that, either they're brain dead or they're lying, one thing or the other. Secondly, you can die the iffies. I'm not going to die the iffies. If I had done this, if I had taken that road, if I had turned it, if I had said no, if I had, woo! On and on and on. Thirdly, to the person, to God's child who wants his will, he factors this in. All right, Lord, I'm not sure that I had all pure motives when I did this. I'm not sure I left you room. My motives are pure, but my methods may have been pushy or whatever.
Exactly.
My methods are pushy, and now we have our youngster. Okay. Then I have to go back to Romans 8, 28 and 29. For we know that all things work together for good. It didn't say all things feel good. It didn't say all things were good. But we know that all things work together for good to them who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. What purpose? For whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate or mark out ahead of time to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he, Jesus, might be the firstborn among many brethren, which simply means that Christ is going to make you like himself through every circumstance, to those who love God and to those who are permitted. Everybody in this room has got an if only. They probably got 20 if onlys. They got probably got 10 major if onlys. So, I mean, I can think a lot of if onlys. So I'm not going to die if the onlys, because what I'm going to do is I'm going to embrace it. But what this girl can do to press you to Jesus and conform you to the image of Christ. And that's the main reason she's in your life. That's the main reason anything's in your life. That the pressure without presses me to the person that's within to conform me to the image of Christ. See, this church is not going to heaven. I'm going to heaven. And therefore, the purpose, the whole purpose of redemption, the whole purpose of redemption is to conform you to the image of his Son. In the process, you run a plant, you adopt a child, you work at an office, you counsel people, you drive a truck, you administer an office. And in the grid of our lives, you see, this is the thing about the Christian life, that we have the key, please, that's not arrogance, we have a key. We know why we're here ultimately. It's hard to live with when you've been created for an eternal purpose and you don't know the eternal purpose, it's hard to live. You have to keep stuffing stuff in your hearts and taking trips and going crazy and get a bigger TV screen or whatever you do. People are very frustrated. They don't even know why they're frustrated. That's why, thank you, Justin. Joshua, I keep calling, that's his older brother, but he's a good guy. That's why we're talking about this witnessing on the street stuff. I can explain the emptiness in your life for people to sit down and think about it. It's very, so you have an eternal purpose. We can make sense out of whatever happens to us, because even the worst thing, even sin, God can overrule sin to show me my great dependence and break down my pride and again bring me back to take the life of Christ to be conformed to his image. And we have, that is the body. When I get to heaven, God's not going to say, how big was your church? He's not going to say, how much did you make? He's not going to ask me that. He wants to know one thing. Did you love me? And did you let my spirit work in your life? Now this stuff will come in, but I'm pretty sure that's not going to be first. That's how big is your church? Who cares? I care, secondarily. See, so I don't want you, the worst thing can happen, Sue, is to start second-guessing yourself rather than first-guessing God's purpose or what she can mean in your life. I don't say it's going to be easy, and I'm going to say something else. It's a real challenge when we adopt. But let me say something else. All the problems that come through this church, 99.2 or whatever, are not from adopted children, they're from natural children. Children were born naturally. So say, well, I got adopted child, therefore I got a big problem. Now, I'm going to be very honest, I have seen some huge problems from adopted children. They came out of terrible backgrounds. Mm-hmm. By the same token, my daughter was adopted, Jennifer. She and Lincoln started getting serious, and she said, Dad, I'd like to know one thing. Well, she just, they're not engaged or anything, just get real serious and say, I want you to know that I'm adopted. Oh, I said, really? That's interesting, we're all adopted. Whereby we have received the spirit of adoption from God, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. In other words, she's saying, want you to know, are you against adopted kids? Because this could be tough, and I want you to know I'm adopted. So I said, big, wonderful, we're all adopted. So just because they are not adopted does not mean, oh, I got a big problem. We've got natural kids that are driving people crazy around here.
Well, my feeling a lot has been I've been unfair to God and unfair to her because perhaps she wasn't what God wanted.
All right.
So I think I've put myself at arm's length saying, you know,
okay.
I'm not going to bother.
Okay. I know it. Because you see, now you got a question. And it's like the man said, I said maybe and that's final. And so when you say, but I'm not trying to be funny because you got a real serious, a real heart need, and I'm not trying to.
She's just for her to, she is a wonderful child. She doesn't even show signs of any
physically,
dysfunction. Emotionally, yeah. Everything. You'd never know she wasn't.
Okay, now, the big thing, I'm going to have you people here come because there's wisdom in the body of Christ, because I want you to fill in when I'm done here. The big thing is for you to receive in your heart a certification, it's okay, I'm in the will of God. Associate. Because once you got that, otherwise you're standing on sand all the time. And it's kind of marshy here, and I can't get up to bat because I can't get a purchase, and I can't swing my bat because I never know quite what I'm doing. And I made a mistake, and now it could have been, and she should have been, and maybe she should have been at home, and maybe I should have this one in. Now, woo, man alive, where's that go? Wah, 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 crash. I can't do that. God takes me where I am. Like people come in and get saved. Their lives are a wreck, some of them. Total wreck. We're going to say, well, if you hadn't divorced your wife, and if you hadn't got on dope, and if you hadn't chased that woman, you wouldn't have all these problems. That's right, but those problems may be the very thing that brought them in here. And God redeems the stinking mess to bring them to himself. Then they go back and tell their wife, you know, I blew it with you, sweetie, or whatever. So, you're where you are, and I would embrace it. I would embrace it. So, because I want to give you certainty that you may have those feelings, that's fine. Let's just say worst possible scenario. I went ahead and did my thing, now I got this child. Let's just say, I'm not saying that's all the case it was. I don't want you feeling, because now you're thinking, well, maybe you did, push this girl. And frankly, I'll tell you, I try to push, if a girl walks in here with a baby for adoption, there's sometimes they're between ages of 15 and 18. I'll tell you frankly, they don't have a clue, number one. Not a clue. Number two, they have no idea of how they're going to work and 40 to 50 hours a week and support the baby and keep the baby, and this is where there's no mom to help. And they're going to keep the baby and work and get to pay a babysitter. They can't pay the food bill. They don't have a clue. They don't have any idea of finances. Number three, I lean on them sweetly for their sake and the baby's sake to put them in a home where the baby can be loved and cared for. No, I don't do very well. We depend on, you see now anymore, you're scum if you put the baby up for adoption in the lower echelons. And now with all the state and federal aid, so they keep it. But usually mom will pitch in, grandma pitches in, they can do it that way. Okay, so I'm not pro-conning, I'm simply saying these things come up. But I'm saying I lean toward most of the time. I lean to, although I can't, I mean, how you women can appreciate, how do you give away your own flesh? I don't know. But because you love that baby enough, many times I'm telling right now, put the baby, if you love that child, give the child the best chance he can get. Let me get this baby in a Christian home. Let me get this baby where he can be provided for. He can have music lessons. He can have some fun in life. Not just, it's my baby. I know it's your baby, sweetheart. But what about the baby? So what I'm saying is what you've done is many times what I'm leaning on girls to please consider this. It's your child, I can't make you, I'm not going to do that. Please consider this child. So what you've done is a normal choice in many instances, not all. Now for you, you've got to receive that. Even in you feeling guilty because, see, I look back and I lean on that mother. I lean on mothers a little bit. And I'm responsible for that baby because it's going to somebody else's home? Yeah. We had, I'm going to tell you too many stories. So, but I want you to embrace it as one of God's little angels to you. You know what the word angelos means? You would say angel. What's it really mean?
Messenger.
Messenger. God's messenger. What does scripture say? A little child shall lead them. You know, a little child will lead you? It'll lead you to a whole new knowledge of Christ and dependence and appropriation. And you're going to love her as God's instrument of what she's going to teach you about Jesus, and she won't even know she's teaching you about Jesus. And you know what? Many times there's in us, there has to be within us, quote, has to be, something that we're resisting or fearful of or feel guilty about, that when we deal with it and embrace it, it gives us a whole new grasp on God. I'm going to pray for you right now. Join me in prayer. Parents, is there any words you'd like to share with the Sue, the helper, at this point? Close the door. God's able to. He could shut it down. She could say, no, you're not going to change me. You're not going to get this job. I'll tell you frankly, for every 6 girls that come to us with a baby, you know how many we successfully get to another home out of 6? Want to guess?
One.
Talk about closing doors.
It's a culture now.
Oh, I mean, they close down. Grandma closes it down. Somebody closes it down. To get a child into a home from another mother, we're doing 6-1. So God could close this, more chance to close down than ever get the child. I don't want you to feel guilty now. Do you see the difference? I don't want you working out of guilt. We're turning to basket cases. I do. I can't work out of guilt. I can't do anything. Is that okay? Do you feel guilty? I know, I'm glad you do. I know you do. But I want you to see. Don't entertain guilt. Your own or demonic push, either one, I don't care. I embrace it. All things work together for good. And I know if I was Satan, I'd just beat the way out of you. I'd probably run out. Well, you're getting what you got. You pushed, you got it. Now look, now you're going to have a life of misery. And I'm going to forget it. I'm going to turn this woman into an apostle. Why not?
She's done real well with him, but I think she senses that.
Well, sure, honey, because you sense it too, sure.
Yeah. Sure.
We understand that. My favorite aunt likes my brother more than me. She never said that, but I could sense it. She was a wonderful aunt. She was so much fun, and she was so much like my brother. They just clicked, and I wasn't like her. And man, I wish she liked me more. I could sense it. I knew she liked me, but not like my brother. I mean, I could tell it. I was only 9. So she says that, but she's going home and says, listen, does Jesus love your other children?
Yeah.
Does he love this child?
Yes.
Does he love them the same?
Yes.
That's right. Who lives in you? Who lives in you?
Jesus.
All right. That's right. And so Jesus loves your other children in the family, and he loves this girl. What's your name?
Tony.
Mm-hmm. Does Jesus love Tony like he loves the rest of your children? That's right. And Jesus lives in you.
Yes.
And he's going to love Tony like he loves the rest of your children. Right? All Sue has to do is go along with the ride. Truth. Truth. Who loves these kids? Now, you have a lot of paternal love for the other kids, but you're choking on this one. Hey, your paternal love, let it follow his divine love. Don't try to lead with your motherly love because it's not there, because you got this choke right now. It'll be there. Let the divine love is better than mom's love anyway. Mom's love is awful special. I'm not putting that down. I'm trying to say, let his divine love toward her, she relate to that. Then your mom's love will kick in. Okay?
Yeah.
So Jesus loves her. He loves you. He has no trouble loving her as much as he loves the rest of your kids. Follow his love. Don't try to make it on your love because it's going to run out of gas right now.
Yeah.
It's on E. Don't worry about it. Love her with Christ's love, which is much better. It won't go away. You won't have to find a reason to love her with Christ's love. All right? True. Now, right here, Josh.
I was kind of thinking, I don't have any experience at all. And I just want to say, I think it's really, really, really cool that you would adopt someone that's not your blood. I think that is just the biggest, I mean, it doesn't seem like it'd be, I mean, to me, I'm super open to it. I'm very open to that, doing that with, you know, taking someone that wouldn't have a good home and trying to provide that for them. And so I'm open to it. So I'm not saying I would think that would be hard, but I think that there would be things about it that would make it hard, too, because you're taking on problems that weren't your own before.
Mm-hmm.
But what I was thinking was, I just want to encourage you there. I think that is the neatest thing. It says a lot about your character. But I thought maybe it just hit me later on. I kind of got butterflies about saying it, so I thought I'll risk being wrong here. But I think we should pray for chemistry between her and her daughter, because I think that the enemy is trying to make her second guess, because he knows that if her focus is on second guessing what is already God's will, then her focus won't be on being proactive in the relationship. And also, I think the enemy can, if the enemy is having her daughter second guess, because it's her daughter now, if he's having her second guess being there, or her mom's love for her, then she's not going to be treating her like the mom that the Lord has intended. So maybe, I don't know if there's a demonic barrier there or not. I'm not an expert on that, but I think maybe if we pray for chemistry for between her and her daughter, that the Lord would be able to break down any walls there, and they could, you know, not be at arm's length anymore.
Why don't you pray to that, and we'll join with you. Go ahead, pray. Praise the Lord. Yes, Marcus, I got it. We got to run here.
I have one thought that two men went to the temple. One said, "Lord, I think I'm not. Thank you that I'm not like the other people." And the other said, "Lord, forgive me, a sinner." And one went away justified. The one that said, "I'm a sinner." And I just, that thought came that you'll go away justified because you sinned. Right.
Appreciate
another
that.
Thought came is about a kid. If a kid wrecks, you know, breaks a lamp or whatever, you want him to run to you, give it to him, to run to you and say, "I broke the lamp." And Jesus wants you to come and bring your broken truck, your broken situation, and say, "Here's my broken situation. Here, I broke it. Dad, I broke it. Here it is. Fix it. Put it back together."
Carol.
God has been teaching me that when I'm obedient, when I walk in obedience, then all my little feelings will follow. Mm-hmm. It'll just fall right into place. But I have to put that foot out and walk in obedience daily. And then my feelings will follow. Mm-hmm. But I can't go by my feelings. Feelings are not
my
true.
Feelings try. Yeah.
That's right.
That's
right.
Very feeling person.
That's right. Well, let's have a bit of a close with this one. Dr. Toews was at conference speaking, and I went over to another brother speaker to have prayer before the meeting. And he got over there half an hour early, and he began talking about the things of the Lord, and things of the Lord, things of the Lord. And pretty soon, ding, 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 bell for service, ding, ding. And Brother Toews, we didn't pray. He says, "No, we didn't, but we came dangerously close." Exactly. So we didn't. I was going to break it down for prayer today. We finally got there. We came dangerously close to a lesson on prayer, but next week. All right. Okay. See ya.